In all my years of ministry, I've always enjoyed leading worship and working at a church. But at the moment, more than ever, it felt like something essential was missing. Something very real was lacking. Even in my most authentic moments, I felt disingenuous and incomplete. I started questioning the validity and spiritual significance of what I was doing with my life. I lead people to sing lyrics like, "Praise is a weapon," and "Hallelujah, you have won it all for me." But it seemed like so many people who were singing these songs were losing battles left and right. Our songs touted victory and praise, but deep down, people were feeling defeat and shame. My mind was racing 1,000 miles per hour, and everything else around me was moving in slow motion. Shouldn't our worship lead to something more than just a song? I thought to myself. We come to church, we sing our songs, we take our notes, and then we go back to living our lives the way we came. Are we living out the same Bella Figura lifestyle with a Christian label on it? Is this truly the image we are meant to bear? Is this the worship God desires? Is there something more, something bigger? I've asked similar questions before, but never with as much conviction and desperation. The word worship was in my job title. I eat, sleep, and breathe all things worship. I read books on it, researched it, and led people into it. But something about our understanding of worship seemed anemic. We might understand that worship involves sacrifice, but we've cheapened the definition of sacrifice. We call it sacrifice when we drop a 20 in the offering plate or when we sing in front of people even when we don't feel like it. As a worship leader, I knew I was called to do more than just lead people in a 5-minute song. I was called to lead people into a much deeper song, one that sings the melody of purpose and passion with our whole life. The purpose of worship and the ultimate purpose of humanity are more intrinsically connected than we might even know. Worship is the desire and passion for that which brings us purpose, and I believe, from a relentless pursuit of seeking out in the scriptures what genuine worship truly looks like, there is a paradigm-shifting purpose that each of us is called to that is infinitely greater than the one we might be settling for. There is a greater, more authentic image that we are called to embody that is different from the one we might currently be pursuing. Most Christians clearly understand that we exist for God's glory, but how that plays out in everyday life is less clear. Giving God glory is not about pounding your chest and pointing to the sky as if celebrating a touchdown. It's about recognizing God's design for your life and living in it. In order to fully understand our purpose, we need to have better understanding of humanity's design. After all, the success of any created thing is defined by its ability to fulfill the functions for which it was designed. We innately understand that things were made to be a certain way. In the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis said, "The very idea of something being imperfect, of its not being what it ought to be, has certain consequences." In other words, when we see the destruction of a forest that was caused by a fire, or a town that was decimated by a tornado, we know that it was not meant to be this way. When we see the pain and the brokenness of a person that was caused by the abuse of someone else, we feel at the core of our souls that this is not the way it should be. And in recognizing that things are not as they should be, we implicitly state that there is a certain way that things ought to be. The Maker of the universe created humanity to function in a certain way. There is a way in which we can look at all of life and humanity and say, "This is the way it should be." People have chased everything under the sun, from money to sex, hoping to satisfy this desire for fullness and purpose. But it is in chasing after our hopes and dreams that often brings us to the moments where we cry out, "This is not how it should be." Everything has a proper design that determines its purpose. For example, a hammer was designed to drive a nail into softer material such as wood or drywall. If you were to measure the success of a hammer by how well it could cut through wood or remove screws, then the hammer would prove to be unsuccessful. The hammer might attempt to defy its design by trying to function as a screwdriver, but this does not change the fact that the hammer was not designed to be anything other than a hammer. Therefore, the hammer is most successful when it is being used to drive nails. That's when the hammer's true purpose is fulfilled. It's not the desire of the creation that defines its purpose or success, but rather the desire of the creator that establishes these things.